You're listening to Rhema for Today.
What he was beginning to do and to teach is exactly what he wants done and taught everywhere. I'm still quoting Brother Bosworth. According to the modern idea, he was starting something, which he promised to continue and increase, not the 20th century gospel, but this gospel that he proclaimed, he said, shall be preached in all the world.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth E. Hagin on his teaching, God's Healing Mercy Series, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Don't you know that being born again, remission of sins and the new birth is the most important thing? You know, that's what you ought to be preaching instead of preaching. Why, do you? And she wanted me to answer, you see. So I answered her by letter and also answered her on the radio. And I said, just read her letter. Somebody wrote in, why do you preach so much about healing? Don't you know it's more important to get people saved? I said, that's the reason I preach on healing. Because you see, I went on to explain that I began my ministry as Baptist. I was healed and believed in healing, prayed for the sick by laying on hands and anointing with oil. I prayed for them privately. I didn't pray for them publicly in the Baptist church, but I did preach it publicly. And my main message is what we call an evangelistic type of message. We got a few people saved. But I said, since I have followed the Lord, in just like Bosworth did, more boldly proclaiming, hallelujah, his willingness to heal, where I used to get 10 people saved, I get 100 saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm getting more people saved than ever did before. In fact, I said I get, in 1 year's time, said on the radio now, in 1 year's time preaching on healing, I got more people saved in 1 year than I did 15 years put together before. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is a great hallelujah. It's a mighty evangelistic agency, healing is, isn't it? Praise God. Now, the ninth chapter of Matthew. Let's begin to read with the 35th verse. We look at another passage concerning the Lord's compassion. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that we will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, as you go on reading into the 10th chapter, and when he had called unto him the 12, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And as we read on, you'll find he commanded them, saying, go preach and heal the sick. Now, you see, his compassion toward the sick is now becoming so well known that the harvest has become too great for just the one reaper. And his compassionate heart is full of yearning over the increasing numbers who could not reach him because of the press. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Hallelujah. And so therefore, his compassion, you see, compelled him, so to speak, to thrust forth other laborers to heal as well as to preach. Notice what his ministry consisted of. He went throughout their cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. And so he expects the same harvest, praise God, today as then. His harvest, Brother Bosworth said, is not only the same in character in our day, but it is also much greater than when he was here. And because his compassion is still the same, he wants the same kind of reapers to reap the same harvest or results by preaching and healing in all the cities and villages. Then Brother Bosworth went on to say, his compassion manifested through these 12 new laborers soon necessitated the thrusting forth of 70 more, empowered to preach and to heal. Labors of this kind are few today, while the harvest truly is plenteous beyond what it was then. Amen. What he was beginning to do and to teach is exactly what he wants done and taught everywhere. I'm still quoting Brother Bosworth. Then as I go on to quote Brother Bosworth, he said, instead of ending something, according to the modern idea, he was starting something, which he promised to continue and increase, not the 20th century gospel, but this gospel that he proclaimed, he said, shall be preached in all the world. Now here's a good example of preaching that gospel in all the world, in the 14th chapter of Acts. Turn there, and we'll look at it for just a moment. 14th chapter of Acts. Concerning the ministry of Paul, or Saul and Barnabas, at Lystra. Now you'll notice Acts 14:7, it says, and there, speaking about Lystra, Derbe, and cities of Lycaonia, and the regions that rioth around about, and there they preached the gospel. And in the 8th verse it said, there at Lystra, there sat a certain crippled man by, you see, who was crippled from his mother's womb and never had walked. The same, the 9th verse said, the same, this crippled man, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly, that is Paul, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's notice it again, that the man was healed because he had faith, not because Paul had faith for him. He's healed because he had faith. Where did he get faith? Well, we remember the scriptures tell us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17. And we know this verse right here said, in that 9th verse, the same, the man, the crippled man, heard Paul speak. He got faith to be healed from a lifelong crippled condition from hearing Paul speak. Paul said something that caused faith to come. Well, what did he say? 7th verse, and there, including Lystra, there they, Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas, preached the gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, one could readily see then that what some people call the gospel today is not the gospel. This gospel shall be preached, Jesus said, to all the world as a witness to every nation. Then shall the end come. What gospel? What gospel? You see, could people be healed by hearing what some people call the gospel being preached? No, no. They wouldn't have faith to be healed. They'd have faith to suffer. Because, you see, you hear people, I mean, in charismatic circles, full gospel circles, well, it's not the will of God to heal everybody. Now, is that gospel truth? No. No, it isn't. I said, no, it isn't. Well, of course, then if you hear that, immediately you, the devil will tell you, now you're one of them that is not his will to heal. Won't he? Did he ever tell you that? Did me. You're one of them. Then you'll hear others, preaching the gospel in a well. Now, you see, they get suffering all mixed up. You know, they think, you know, that having cancer or tuberculosis or tumor or something is suffering. No, no, the Bible talks about suffering. If we suffer with him, talking about Jesus, we'll also reign with him. But now, how did he suffer? With a high fever? No, no, I never read that anywhere about Jesus. Did you? Did he suffer with leprosy? No. Did he suffer with tuberculosis? No. Now, what did he suffer? Now, you see, when he's talking about if we suffer with him, he couldn't be talking about him going to the cross and dying, because we don't have to go to the cross and die and shed blood, because he's done that for us. He's talking about suffering, opposition, persecution. Amen. Now, if you're not being persecuted or opposed, you're not in the will of God. I'm talking about if you're a preacher, especially if you're a preacher. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. You just mark it down right now. But you see, what happens is people bless their hearts. You want to help them so badly, but if they won't listen, there's no way to help them. See, remember what Paul said, writing to the young man Timothy, who was a young minister of the gospel? He said, study. Study. Well, now, to study, you have to use your brain. I think that's one great mistake that full gospel people have done. They've used every other part of their being except their head. They almost seem to think it's a sin to use your head, but it's not. Study. Study. Amen.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's 4-CD series, Knowing God as Your Father. Next is Lynette Hagin's slimline book entitled, God's Peace, Experience It All the Time. Last but not least is Kenneth Hagin's 3-CD series, It Shall Come to Pass. All these items are for the special price of only $45. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's R-H-E-M-A. .org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
You know, honey, we are taking applications now for Rhema Bible Training College for the fall semester. Wow, it's hard to believe that this year is going by.
It's going by so fast.
And so if you're interested, you can just go to rbtc.org/apply, and there's an application right there.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, God's Healing Mercy Series. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.